The writer of the book, here's an easy one. The writer of the book of Jonah is Jonah. And he was a minor prophet. Doesn't mean he was young or insignificant. There are four major prophets in the Bible: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Why? Because they're a lot larger books. Then there's minor prophets, which are shorter books. That's the way they're broken up. Still God's prophets. The time is around 760 BC. And we know that he lived at that time because if you look at 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 to 25, you'll see it speaks of Jonah. He lived during the reign of King Jeroboam II of Israel. And he's a prophet. And we know from that verse in 2 Kings that Jonah was from Gath Hepher. It's a nice name for a town. Gath Hepher. 3 miles north of Nazareth in Lower Galilee. The book of Jonah does not contain any prophecy, but yet he was called a prophet. Only threatened destruction on a city. That's what he did. It was a fire and brimstone message. That's all. I guess it worked. But Jonah himself is a prophet and a prophecy. And we see Jesus himself used this book as a prophecy concerning himself. And what a prophecy. For those who reject the book of Jonah because of the story in here and the facts written in it, they reject Jesus and his words. If you turn to Matthew chapter 12, and a lot of people say, well, it's just a fish story. Who would believe that? Well, it's interesting. Jesus did, huh? Matthew 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of what? The prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." So wouldn't you say it's all real? Jonah is mentioned by Jesus. And Jesus mentions he was in the belly of a great fish. So don't doubt or challenge the book of Jonah or what it tells us what happened to Jonah. We believe it by truth. You know, I've always said this. If a person can believe Genesis 1:1, what does Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you can believe the very first verse in the Bible, you can believe it all. Right? So how come people can't believe certain things in the Bible? God can do anything. You see, if God wanted a man or woman to live in the belly of a fish for 3 months, it'll happen. Or for 3 days, it'll happen. He'll provide air, food, everything else. God will do it. You know, and as we read in Matthew there what Jesus said, it seems that one of the main points in the book of Jonah is being in that belly of that fish for 3 days. Because Jesus said, that's what's going to happen to me. 3 days and three nights, which speaks of Jesus, our Savior, a sign. You know, people want a sign. They always seek a sign. And we'll see, he is a sign. This is a book which tells us about God's love for the lost and how he raises up a messenger to speak to the Gentiles at this time concerning salvation, how to be with God, or else perish. As today he raised up a Savior to bring people to himself. But even before Jesus, he wanted people to come to him, to come to know God, the Creator, Jehovah. Even before Christ, God didn't desire that any perish. Sometimes we think God just didn't care about the world. But there were prophets, people that God raised up to share how to come to God. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Your neighbor as yourself. In this book, we read about God sending a prophet to the lost Gentile nation, which was an enemy of Israel, in order to warn them of coming judgment and destruction, and hoping they will repent and turn to him. It seems even back then people believed in hell or destruction. Today people don't. He says you got to repent and turn, or else you're destroyed. He doesn't desire that any perish, but that all would come to him. And people always want a sign, it seems, especially today. Well, if God is real, then do this. I think we all have what we would call unanswered prayer in our life, but they're not unanswered. They weren't answered yes. Well, if God is real, then why? Well, God is real. You're here because he's real. He created everything. They want to prove God's existence. But man, God has given man a sign. You remember Noah in the flood? That was a sign. It's used in the New Testament. Jesus rising from the dead. He was seen. And when you look at Jonah, he's a sign that God is real. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them what? A sign from heaven. The religious leaders. We want a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of what? Of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Well, he references Jonah a lot when you read the Bible. He says, he's the sign. I'm not going to give you another one. Jonah, he's the sign. Very important book in the Bible. Jesus spoke of it. It was an example. He used Jonah as an example. He referred to it as to what he would do. So the next time someone challenges you, some really smart person and expert and theologian challenges you on the facts in this book, we need to tell them, take it up with Jesus. Rather than trying to get into the thing about a fish swallowing a man and him being able to live there, you know, people go through the scientific thing to prove it. Take them to Jesus in the New Testament. And you either believe it or not. If you're going to challenge it, you're challenging Jesus. You see, the Jews, they didn't like the Gentiles. They didn't like Gentiles. It's funny. Now, today, a lot of Gentiles hate Jews. Isn't it how it's turned? They were preferred at one time. And the Gentiles disliked, the Jews disliked Gentiles. See, they didn't feel that God could bless them. They're outside of his covenant. They were special. They were enemies. And we know God loves all people. What do we learn from this message we're going to study in the book of Jonah? Sometimes we exclude people. We say they can't be saved. Whereas we say in our, I wouldn't want them saved. I'd want them destroyed. Out of my life. They're no good. They don't stand for what I stand for. They're different. They're different. They're not like us. They don't live like us. They don't agree with us. They're enemies. Well, God may order you, speak to you about sharing with someone you don't approve of. Wouldn't that be fun? You know, there's those people in your life or people you hear about or read about and you think, ah, I wish God would just destroy them. We Christians aren't to hide what we have. We've been blessed. We're not isolated people. We're to be a light in the world. We're to share what we have, salvation, Jesus being the light. We're the messengers of the day. We aren't to be picky on who we share with. We see Jonah was a prophet, a preacher, God's messenger. In Jonah, though, we see something unique in the Old Testament. And the way God worked in the Old Testament, this book is really about a book of love. People talk about the fish, talk about Nineveh. It's really about a book of love. You see, in the Old Testament, you know, Jews were a special nation, but this book is about God's love and desire for Gentiles and all people to be saved, no matter who they are or what they've done. And it's a message of love for horrible, evil people. In the Old Testament, God didn't do what he has chosen for us to do today. In the Old Testament, God didn't send missionaries out from Israel. He didn't send messengers from Israel or from Jerusalem to other countries. In our day, we're commanded to go into all the world and preach the good news. We're to go from where we are out to there. The Great Commission. Way back when, we studied it in Mark, at the end of Mark. Remember that? About going out and evangelize. But in the Old Testament, what did God do? How did he work? Well, he established his people Israel, and they were at the crossroads of the world. They were where Europe, Africa, and Asia meet. Isn't that something? People wonder, why did he choose that? That little stretch of land. It amazes me when you hear about all world affairs and then you look at Israel and say, well, where is it? This little strip. But it's at the crossroads of the world. Reaches everywhere. He chose those people in that place, the land of Israel, to do his work. The temple was in Jerusalem, was the place of worship. The ark, people met with God. God was in Jerusalem and worked in Israel. So people who wanted to know about God, guess where they went? To Israel. See how it's different? They went to Israel. They had to go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem to the temple. They came where God was working among his people. And then you had to become like them and be part of God's people. The world was looking at Israel. People had to come to the house of the Lord to worship him. You know, in 1 Kings 10, we read about the Queen of Sheba going there because the whole world had heard about it. And then you hear about how all the kings of the world in 1 Kings 10 would go there to hear Solomon, how wise he was. But they would go there. You got to go there to come to know God, hear about God. So Jonah in the Old Testament is unique in the Old Testament. He was sent out from Israel to the dark world, just as we go today, to the Gentiles, enemies of Israel. Verse 1, we finally get into it. That's the background. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. So, first of all, we see the word of the Lord came to Jonah. A command, an order came from God to Jonah, God to him, and Jonah understood it. Does God speak to us today personally? Did you ever tell someone, well, God told me, or God gave me this decision to make? God still speaks to us. We need to listen. Don't shut him off. He speaks through individuals, through the Word, through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through circumstances. But he speaks. A command, an oracle came, and God speaks. Maybe God has spoken to you recently, and maybe you're listening or maybe you're not. A lot of times when it isn't what we really want to hear, we say, well, that couldn't be God. When it's something we want, we say, God spoke to me. Jonah didn't like what God said. So he spoke to Jonah, saying, what did God say to Jonah? He said, arise, get going, go to Nineveh, specific, that great city. Here's what I want you to do. Cry out against it. Why? For their wickedness has come up before me. Arise and go to Nineveh. God directs Jonah to go to this city of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. The Assyrian Empire was large, covered a large area at the time of Jonah, northeast and northwest of Israel, and eventually all of Israel. Go to Nineveh, that great city. Whoa, a great city, great in that day, but evil. Evil city, sinful. What does he want him to do? Pronounce judgment. For their wickedness has come up before me. Because of their sin, because of their evil, he wants to tell them that they've got to repent or else. They're very wicked, very evil people. Preach to them. What does he want them to preach? Repentance. You've got to turn. Their wickedness has come up before me. God cares about evil people. For they are wicked, he says, and they do wicked things. Their wickedness has come up before me. He wants his prophet, Jonah, his mouthpiece, to warn Nineveh of their wickedness because of the coming judgment of God. He's going to give them a chance. People are dying in their sin. Heaven and hell are real. Sin is real. And people need to be forgiven of sin if they want to go to heaven. You're not going to get there any other way except through Jesus, our forgiveness. Today we know Christians are to go and share the gospel. But we're calling people to come to Jesus, the light of the world, the only way of salvation, to take care of their sin. He says, arise and go to Nineveh. Many times we read in Scripture of God giving orders to his vessels to go. And you know what? Most of the time we read they do. They go right away. Remember Abraham? Go, arise, go and sacrifice your son. What does it tell us? He arose early in the morning and did it. We read that about King Jehoshaphat. and other people. God said, do this. They rose up early in the morning and they did it. They didn't say, was that the Lord? When you start thinking about what God has told you to do, you're probably going to talk your way out of it. Just do it. Just do it. You want me to go and share with that person? Just go and do it. Or you'll be miserable. Arise and go. You see, timing is so important, isn't it? That person is probably ready at that time. Arise and go. Many times you read in Scripture that he said, go, and people did it. Well, Jonah obeyed the first part. He did arise. Jonah did arise, but God was specific. He told Jonah exactly where to go. I love that, don't you? When God speaks to you, wouldn't you love it to be exact and precise? Sometimes it's one step at a time. Oh, I don't like that. Yeah, well, what after that, God? Maybe I don't want to go. Arise and go to Nineveh. Why? Because they're wicked. So he's going to go to give this wicked city a chance to repent. Nineveh is in Assyria. The thing is, they were enemies of Israel. Assyrians were wicked, brutal. Historically brutal. They flayed people, skinned them alive. A lot of things I won't share because you're probably going out to lunch, but they made heaps of skulls. Dreadful deeds. They beheaded people, chopped off their hands. They're a very wicked people. You say, oh, don't want to see them saved. They're evil, and they hate God's people. Jonah did arise to flee to Tarshish, verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He arose. But what did he arise to do? To flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This obedience is running from the Lord. You may read something in Scripture, not take heed, means you're running from the Lord. You're running away from the Lord. Maybe today God's speaking to you, you better obey. Nineveh was 500 miles northeast of Palestine. Tarshish was 2,000 miles west. Woo! Go to the East Coast. Okay, I'm headed to California. He goes in, opposite direction, backsliding. Whenever we disobey God, we actually want to get away from the presence of the Lord. We don't want to be convicted. We don't want to obey. So we try to cover it or do something to get away from it. We're giving into the flesh, guiding our own pathway. We take over. Jonah is trying to run from the Lord. Jonah came to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Is that silly? Try to run away from God? Whenever we disobey God, we're running from God. In our heart, we can run away. But in reality, he's everywhere. God is everywhere. When you read Psalm 139, if I go here, you're there. Let's turn to Psalm 139. You can't run from the Lord or his call. 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwelt in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You can't run from the Lord. Some people think they can sin in a secret place and the Lord can't see. He sees your sin. People may not, but God does. And he knows your heart. Every time I study this or share it, I think of when our children were small. And we used to play hide and seek in the home. You know, I'd cover my eyes and count, and they'd be going all the rooms all over the house to try to hide. But when they were small, I'd go looking for them, and you could see a little leg sticking out, or their butt up in the air. Or, you know, you could see where they are. Where are they? Where are they, you know? And you make believe that you can't see them, but you could see them. That's how God is. He sees us. He knows where we are. And I'd say, where are you? Where are you? I knew where they were. So I can rebel in my heart, try to run from God, but he's always there. Distance never separates us from God and his plan. We're not going to run from it. Our sins separate us from God. We break that beautiful fellowship. He arose to flee to Tarshish. Didn't want to obey God's orders. Why? Why did he do that? Because the Assyrians were enemies of Israel. He heard how brutal they were. He's probably saying, I'm glad if you destroy them. Get them out of our way. Kill them. He wanted to destroy them, not save them. That's why he fled. He didn't want to obey God's orders. You know else why he fled? Because he knows that God is merciful and gracious. Oh, no, I know you, God. You'll save them. I don't want them saved. Wipe them out. They're our enemies. Do you and I feel this way about some people? God is global, not just in the United States. As a matter of fact, we're probably the last ones to hear about him. All started somewhere else. Do you feel maybe God is calling you to pray for some people, to share with them that you don't like? Remember Jesus said, love your enemies? Don't hate them. Love them. Do you not understand that God wants our enemies to go to heaven? That's where he wants them, in heaven. Go share the gospel with them. We don't want to kill them and send them to hell. God wants to save them. That's what this book is about. They were the most brutal enemies of Israel, God's people. He didn't say wipe them out. He said go and change them. What a book about sharing the gospel with everyone. Jonah didn't want his countrymen thinking of him. He was, you know, proud also. He didn't want his countrymen thinking of him going to the enemy and telling them about God, his God of creation, and how he desires they repent. He was proud. He wasn't going to stoop down and share with the Assyrians. They were cruel. They tortured Israel. There may be those people in the world or in our life that we wouldn't really care if they're saved or not. We want them condemned. They're evil. They're brutal. Be a light in the darkness. Allow God to use you. Don't run from God. See, that's why Jesus said the sign of a disciple will be love. That means we must have a love for everyone. It's easy to get angry and hate, isn't it? Jesus said, love. I want them to go to heaven. I don't desire that any perish. And there might be those people in our lives that we just shut out. We wouldn't even think of praying for them. We don't want to run from God. So what did he do in verse 3? He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, the opposite direction. He paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. When we disobey God, we're going in the wrong direction. We're moving, we're running away, we're taking up another course, filling our life with something else, not what God wants us to do. We're not going to get rid of the problem or God's orders. He doesn't change. You're going to be miserable. I'm going to be miserable. My life won't be in order if it's not in order with God. We must give up and give in to the Lord and not run away. Why did he run away from Nineveh? He knew God would save them if they repented. He knew God was merciful and gracious. He saved the wretch like me, like you. He's merciful and gracious, and he wants to save everyone. Don't give up on people. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not, you know, once they repented, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you're a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." This guy's crazy. He says, "See, God, I told you. You're too good. You saved them. I knew you'd do it. That's why I didn't want to go." What a bad heart. This is a message of God's mercy and grace. Those people we dislike, it could be just people in your life. God wants to save. I don't know. Maybe they don't like you. Do you still want them to go to heaven? Do I still want them to go to heaven? Do I have a heart for them? So what happened here when he ran from God? You could underline so many words in verse 3 and do messages on them. What did he do? He went down to Joppa. He went down. Look at that. It's all downhill. He went down to Joppa. And also, he went down. You'll read it a couple other places. Verse 5. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. And then you read in chapter 2, verse 6, I went down to the moorings of the mountain. You see a lot of down in here in this book. First of all, he went down, 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 downhill to the lowest parts when you flee from God. Another thing he did. He paid the fare. He spent money to run from God, lost money to run from God. That happens to us a lot of times. We try to fill our life with other things. We waste a lot of money trying to run from God and fill that thing in our heart with something else. You lose every time you run from God. You go down, you lose money. And another thing I caught here is that I notice in verse 3 it said, he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Who's the them? The world. The unbelievers. You find yourself identifying with unbelievers or hanging around with unbelievers. I just caught that today, this morning, that we're... He went down into it to go with them. I'm not going with God to Nineveh. I'm going with the world to Tarshish. Wow. Doesn't that happen a lot? You know, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, you know, choose. Because when you go from the Lord, you're going with them, the world, away from the Lord. He was going to go with the world from the presence of the Lord. You see, God is omnipresent. He sent God's man, prophet, preacher, to deal with the unbelievers. You can't run, you can't hide. Jonah chose to do that. But God doesn't change, and he doesn't change his orders. So next week, we're going to see what happens and who wins. Do you ever win against God? I think all of us can say, no. Why was I so stupid? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for mercy and grace. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your great love for the lost, for our enemies. Lord, our hearts can become so cold when we focus on ourselves or the world. Soften them. Fill our hearts with your love. Thank you for saving me and all these people here. It's good to go to heaven. The alternative is horrible. We don't want to see anybody there, Lord. If it's your will, choose us to share the gospel. And if we can't share, let us pray that you would be merciful and gracious to those that need you. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.